You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you and with our listeners out there.
Yes, happy July 4th to our American listeners, and I hope you had a great Canada Day.
Yeah, it's a big day for our American friends.
Now, we'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye, but first, we're going to look at gold juniors, with gold doing really well right now. Isn't it time for the gold juniors to just be exploding?
Oh, yeah, they've been acting well. As you know, a year or so ago, we put together a list. I think it was 11 juniors, and some were pre-production, some were small producers, and some were exploration stocks, which is the side I really like, is exploration. And the reason for choosing these is that, you know, the senior gold stocks are going to go up, and there's be market action. But in the juniors, once into a good solid bull market, they can really perform, and then you have the probability of maybe one of them coming up with a major discovery. And we did this one many years ago, came up with a list of five, and one of them turned out to be Arequipa, who made the major discovery down in Peru, and the stock went to $30 and was taken over for a market cap of a little over $1 billion, and that was a penny stock at one time. So they have been performing well, and then if somebody has the good luck of making a discovery, then you've got huge action, and it's a good way to play the gold stocks. And as I say, you can get in touch with us, and we'd be glad to pass on our list.
Now, looking at headlines, bond traders scrap bets on a July rate cut in the U.S. after strong jobs report.
Yeah, they've been talking rate cuts, and even President Trump is talking about rate cuts. But there won't be any rate cuts because the T-bill rate is not declining. It reached a high a couple of months ago, and then the 3-month bill rate has come down a little, but that's all. So it's not in a downtrend. And as you know, the Federal Reserve is a fake, a fraud, and a whatever. And it's really driven by market forces on the T-bill rate. And the Fed follows, trying to look like it's in charge. Now, the other thing we like to point out is that in the good times, in the boom, T-bill rates go up. So it's a positive indicator. And then in the bust, T-bill rates go down. It's a very negative thing. And when we've got a chart of the S&P against the T-bill rate, I forget, it was 2008, and the chart shows that the steepest drop in the S&P was accompanied by the steepest drop in the T-bill rate. So people who are talking about the Fed cuts are going to be good times, it's just plain wrong. And I can show over a couple hundred years, and then of course earlier when London was the financial center and sterling was the senior currency, same thing held there going back a couple hundred years ago. So but we can tell you that the T-bill rate's not going down, So there won't be any Fed cuts for a while yet until it rolls over, and I'm not sure when that's going to happen. Well, but we'll watch it very closely.
The bond report was based on the job report, where it says, though, further research has found half of the 147,000 jobs created in the U.S. were government hires.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that is very dangerous. Government hires.
In British Columbia, the job growth, 4 out of 5 jobs are government jobs.
Yeah.
Is that sustainable, Bob?
No, that is scary stuff. But I think Trump is, of course, trying to reform it all. And in Canada, we'd have the leader of the opposition. He's also out for reform, Pierre Poilievre. And so I think we're going into a period of serious political reform, where people are just looking at excessive government, excessive taxes, and all that, and say no more. And the big thing, Jim, is it's happened before in history, and I've got all that detailed. So we're on a transition to where most folks become highly critical of intrusive government.
Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, confirms he would have cut U.S. interest rates by now if not for tariffs.
Yeah, that's kind of a speculative headline. The main thing is there'll be no Fed cuts until the T-bill rate goes down.
Now, another headline says Trump administration is making U.S. debt riskier by trying to influence monetary policy. He's always threatening to fire Jerome Powell.
Well, yeah. Well, as I said, the head of the Fed doesn't matter. He's just there to try and look good. And when short rates go down, as recorded by T-bills, then you're getting into concerning times. But the stock market is fantastic, and as we've been talking, that often seasonally the good times can roll into the middle of the year, which where we are now. And so my own thinking on this, Jim, is that the action is good in the S&P and getting overbought, which is ideal. And if it gets very overbought, then we're set up for quite a slam against the stock markets. So, yeah. But we're not, you know, the rise isn't ended yet. It's getting up to where it's getting precarious. That's a good word for it, Jim, precarious.
U.S. manufacturing drops for 4th straight month. They blame the inability of business to plan because of the on and off tariffs.
Yeah. I think what one wants to do is just look at the report. Business weakness, and that they're blaming it on tariffs, I would just overlook that one.
Tesla stocks have sunk 6% after Trump said he will consider deporting Elon Musk. And Musk has admitted he lied on his immigration forms. He claimed to be a student when he was actually working.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. Well, that would be interesting to follow this story for sure.
Now, if you're a billionaire, the richest man in the world, does it really matter what your citizenship is? Aren't you a citizen of the world?
No.
I mean, Elon could buy all of us. Just think of it. Elon right now could give every Canadian $10.5 million and still have $43 billion left over, what he paid for X, for Twitter.
Are you working on that account?
Well, I should. But, of course, if you wanted to destroy a country, give everybody $1 million, because who's going to work?
Right. And everything would get bid up. Right. Yes, right. Yeah.
And inflation, I think, would slightly take off.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to convince somebody to still, you know, man the schools and the hospitals and the fire trucks and police stations and all the other things that we need. I thought he could make an offer to Canadians, but you can only collect that money after you turn 65. So you still have to work. Although you could, but then you could arbitrage it. Hey, look, I'm going to get this when I turn 65. So could you give me a loan based on that? And I can live on that instead of working.
Right, that's fanciful stuff. But, you know, most people like to work.
I'd be terribly bored if we weren't doing this, Bob.
Right.
And that I get paid to talk is amazing.
Well, I get paid for writing, basically. And then we do our interview, which I always enjoy. So, you know.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Canada has shipped its first LNG export cargo from BC, and this is really important for Canada. Stuart Muir from ResourceWorks told us in his interviews with us that a shipment, one shipload of LNG product to Asia is worth over $100 million a ship. And, of course, BC and the federal governments get taxes and royalties from
that. Yeah. But, you know, it was about 2 or 3 years ago when then Prime Minister Trudeau, there was two delegates, serious delegates from Germany, came over to talk to him about setting up LNG plants. And he just told them, no, we're not going to do it. We're saving the planet. But so he just dismissed them like that on the crackpot idea that somehow CO2 has something to do with climate. I mean, really.
Yeah, right after that, Germany opened up their coal mines again.
Yeah.
Now, what's better,
anyways,
liquid natural gas
like
or coal mines?
We're getting back to common sense on shipping liquefied natural gas. And then also there's talk about getting a pipeline through the north out to Kitimat and that sort of thing. And, yes, that would be good. And they should be working on it. You got the Premier of Alberta, Danielle Smith, on it, and she is outstanding on practicality and anti-socialism and trying to trim government and also trying to protect Albertans from the predators in Ottawa. It is really scary what Ottawa may do next. And as I say, until the next election when the reform come in. And then the current Prime Minister, Carney, he is Marxist-Leninist and a rabid proponent of controlling CO2 to control the climate. I mean, the man's ambition is scary, and also his ignorance is scary as well.
Now, Doug Ford, the Premier of Ontario, has floated the idea of a pipeline to Moosonee, which, of course, if you look at a map, is just north of Moose River on James Bay as a possible way to get Canadian petroleum products out to Europe.
Yeah, that would be one way, is a good way, and also the other would be to get a pipeline right across and through out to the eastern seaboard. But here you have an irony with the province of Quebec adamantly against a pipeline that would go through there, but very happy to accept $13 billion a year in what they call equalization payments, with the money coming from Alberta. It's totally insane.
And apparently Quebecers are also the biggest buyers of SUVs which soak up a lot of that product.
I saw one last evening, and by an engineer who was really informed on this, and in order to have, well, they're, you know, they're talking about so many electric vehicles proportionate by 2035, you would have to build something like 15 huge nuclear reactors just to generate the electricity from all of these electric cars that they're talking about. So they have not thought it out at all. They're just on a fad for electric cars because nothing ugly comes out of the tailpipe. But today's cars or engines are very efficient and very clean running, relatively. And they're not necessary environmentalists, but the contingent that's calling for electric cars really is ignorant and has not put enough research into it.
Now, the BRICS are going to be meeting next week. Will they ever launch their so-called unit currency that's 40% based on gold? It would be a cryptocurrency or digital currency. Do you think that's a realistic plan by them?
Well, I think a lot of it's driven by envy of the U.S. dollar being the senior currency, and it's market forces that chooses what is the senior currency. And these guys at BRICS, when they first started talking about BRIC a couple of years ago, they were saying that it would be convertible also into a basket of commodities. Well, no. There is only one backing for a proper currency, and it is gold, and it has been that way for couple of thousand years at least, and gold is the ideal reserve, and a currency should be convertible into a fixed amount of gold, and that then stymies the desires of government to depreciate. And on a gold standard, the Federal Reserve could not depreciate its own currency. What's the saying, Jim? It'd be like a pub with no beer.
Now, on this cryptocurrency thing, the U.S. government talking about using stable coins, some kind of cryptocurrency, as part of its Federal Reserve or monetary policy. Is that a plan to get rid of the U.S. debt, just create these cryptos, and then say, here, take these, now the debt's paid?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but I think it's interesting that they're trying to find something that is stable. And even gold, you take, like when England for 150 years was on a gold standard, but if you take gold and deflate it by the CPI, you'll find that the purchasing power of gold changes depending on what's going on out there in the economy. So in a boom, the real price of gold goes down because things are outperforming gold and outperforming money. And then in the bust, gold's real price goes up. And yes, it's going up as deflated by the CPI. But also, I like to do it with the gold divided by the CRB Commodities Index, and thinking that the CRB Commodities Index represents mining costs. So what this gets us to, Jim, is that those who are all gold bugs who say that the gold is going to go to 10,000 because the dollar is going to die, you don't have to go into that fanciful speculation. All you do is point out is that the real price goes up, the miners make more money, and you have a lengthy bull market for gold stocks when most of industry and commerce is in a post-bubble depression. So this is where you have, in the past, gold mining, gold stocks have had their best innings in a post-bubble depression. Now, we're not yet into a post-bubble depression, but we certainly got the bubble, which is getting very excessive.
Now, on the political money front, we found out here in the lower mainland of British Columbia, Greater Vancouver, we have all these mayors and municipal officials who are making monstrous salaries here. The chief administrative officer for Metro Vancouver makes a minimum $540,000 a year. The pay for the premier of BC is $218,000. Should any municipal official make more than the premier does?
Oh, no. This is the inside group at each municipality all working up the their own salaries. It's an evil. I remember they had a major problem with that with some municipality in the States, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or something, and there was really quite the scandal about it. They were, their big deal there was that they were getting something like $400,000 a year when they retired.
Well, we just found out the Richmond Olympic Oval, which was used for the 2010 Olympic Games in Vancouver and then converted into a giant recreation center, they have 8 board members, each making $500,000 a year.
Oh, that's outrageous.
So
that is absolutely outrageous.
$4 million a year, wouldn't that build a few recreation centers all on its own for that kind of money?
Oh, yeah. Somewhere the public is going to react against that one. But yeah. I think you need some hard times to really get the public to look at the excesses of government administrators.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our audience out there. They're in the ether, aren't they?
In Cyberland.
Cyberland. Oh, I love that one. Okay, Jim, we'll look forward to talking next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.